We're up to Perek Beis Mishnah Vav, continuing the statements of Hillel. Huya Omer, Ein Bur Yerechet Ramar Tzchassid. The idea here is that you can have a person who is extremely sincere about being an observant Jew. Sometimes you find people who are very excited, they're very interested on the both practical and experiential, intellectual level, to be a good person, to be a good Jew. However, the phrase "Ein lo amar es chassid" teaches us that despite the sincerity, sincerity is important, but it's not enough. Despite the sincerity, you cannot be ignorant of Jewish law. That's how the Chafetz Chaim, in introduction to the third chelik of the Mishnah Berurah, the Hilchos Shabbos, explains that a lot of times people want to observe Shabbos, but if you don't know the dinim, how can you observe Shabbos? You don't know the laws. And a lot of people point, Chazal tell us, it's a Gemara, and a lot of people quote it in one context or another, Rachmana Libavoy. Kadosh Baruch Hu cares what's in the heart. And it's true. Kadosh Baruch Hu does care what's in the heart. A person has to feel it. It can't be your behavior, religious behavior can't be something which is just, you know, without any passion, without any feeling. Absolutely. But what's in the heart alone is not enough. There are many Jews that say, well, I'm a good Jew at heart. You know, right? They'll say that they don't observe mitzvahs. I'm a good Jew at heart. Someone once quipped that there's a lot of pressure on the heart. It'll give you a heart attack. If you're just going to use your heart as the only organ which you're going to use to express your Yiddishkeit, your relation to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, heart's important, but it's not the only thing. You can't put all the pressure on heart. It requires other areas of behavior too. So when we say lo amar, it's chassid. Just having the right heart and having quote unquote your heart in the right place, it's not enough. The actions have to manifest that as well, and the actions can only be performed by someone who knows what the dinim are. So I'll give an example sometimes. Let's say you have a person who wants to become, I don't know, an astronaut or something like that. So you sincerely, right, a kid's growing up, he's excited about it, wants to become an astronaut. Yeah, but the only way you can become an astronaut is if you study what it means to be an astronaut, and you learn how to be an astronaut. That's true in any profession. A person who wants to become a surgeon, okay, yeah, okay, I can be very sincere. I can really mean it. I want to help people, and I want to cure people. I really mean it. Obviously, this person's not going to be a successful surgeon unless he learns the rules of medicine. He learns how medical procedures are done. You have to know practically what to do. So having the sincerity is important. You want a doctor, you want a professional in any area who cares about what he's doing and knows, you know, who really means it and it means something to him and he takes pride in what he does. That's the kind of person you want doing whatever work it is with you. But that alone is insufficient because, again, as the minister says, lo amar et chassid, right? There's a story that the Gemara says that if somebody uses some false excuse to get out of doing something, so eventually whatever he claimed, that's going to happen to him. Someone who claims that he's sick won't leave this world unless he's taka sick. Right, he just uses the sickness as an excuse. Something that is not sick at all, but eventually, Kadosh Baruch Hu somehow works it out that he gets sick. And it says that if you pretend to be poor so you can get out of paying something or giving more charity, whatever it is, eventually you won't leave the world till you're poor. So the story is that someone once asked the Chassam Sofer, "What if a person pretends that he's a Talmid Chacham? Right, if a person pretends that he's knowledgeable. So according to the logic, then." To end up, they should go to Talmud Chacham. So some say, yeah, he won't leave this world till he believes Itak is a Talmud Chacham. Till he believes he's a Talmud Chacham. Right? In other words, the idea is that sometimes a person who, you fool yourself. But again, lo amar et chassid, it means you have to know, and that's why it's so important to learn halacha, to learn dinim, or to have people you can talk to about halacha, because as much as you're sincere, and as much as sincerity is important, the only way you can do anything is if you know how to do what it is that you're supposed to do, and that's exactly what halacha is about. Before that, though, it also says, "Ein bur yerechet." Bur is, again, a boorish person. English also, bur. Right? The person who's uncouth, this person is ill-mannered. A person will never really be a yerechet. Right? They'll never be a pure yerechet. That's what the Ramban calls in his famous introduction to Parshas Kedoshim, the Novel Bershus HaTorah. sometimes you have somebody who you can't nail any inappropriate activity. I work a lot on the high school students, you know. So there's always that one kid, like, you know, he's involved in whatever's going on, but you can't nail him, right? You can't. Somehow he's got an excuse, and he's not, you know, of course, he knows the whole rule book about pay, right? The regulations and the handbook, you know, the student handbook about pay. He can't remember too many things he's studying, but daddy knows about pay, but doesn't say it, right? And you can't. So there are many things that are covered, are not exactly or explicitly covered in the Torah in terms of a person's behavior. And therefore, a person can be a novel, as the Ramban calls a novel, a horrible person, but technically speaking, Birshus HaTorah, there's no one thing you can nail him for. That's what Kedoshim Tio, which, by coincidence or not, is this week's Sedra, right? That's the second Sedra this week is Parshas Kedoshim. And the Tzivu of Kedoshim Tio comes to remind us or tell us that aside from the technical observance of all the mitzvahs, okay, there's a certain way you have to behave as well. And the truth of the matter is, the Gemara makes this part of Avas Hashem. Right, but Avas Hashem not only requires you to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu yourself, but it also requires you to cause other people to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's through your behavior. The famous Gemara in Yuma, that if you have a person who learns and who's Meshamesh HaChachamim and so on, and he also behaves in a certain way, people see, wow, such a person, right? This is a person who is praiseworthy, whose religion is praiseworthy. Of course, the Gemara says, as I mentioned in the past, the other side also. So a boor cannot really be a rechait, somebody who is, somebody who does not have, proper manners or proper sensitivity to deal with other people can't really fully be a rechait. He also mentions here, below habayshon lomid. Right, somebody who's embarrassed to ask will never learn properly. You have to be able to learn. You have to be able to know when you have to ask. Now, the next Mishnah Zion, talks a very strange Mishnah, actually. Okay, it's Afhu Ra'a, Afhu, so they're still talking about Hillel. And we tend to think of Hillel as this very pleasant and very easygoing person. We know the Gemara's in Shabbos, which describe the different people approaching Hillel and Shammai, the famous teach me the Torah while standing on one foot. That's usually translated, it doesn't really mean that. It means in one shot. But, the Shammai lost his temper and, threw the person away. And then Hillel was more compassionate and more understanding. Okay. And therefore, we tend to view Hillel sort of as a very pleasant and easygoing person. And therefore, this Mishnah seems out of character, because the Mishnah describes, Mishnah Zion, that he once found a skull, a remnant of a human body, floating in the water, and it said, "Al da atfas atfah b'sof matavchli tufun," right? Because you drowned somebody else, they drowned you. Okay, someone drowned you, and eventually those that drowned you will be drowned also, which is not necessarily in character. We think is in character for Hillel. However, in a certain sense, maybe it is, because the truth of the matter is a person who can be pleasant and well-mannered does not mean that you have to be some, I don't know what the right word is exactly, but someone who wears, I guess we call it rose-colored glasses, who sees everything, unrealistically. Hillel was not unrealistic. He knew that there's a certain way of the world. He understood that, sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes bad things happen. And what he's trying to emphasize here is that it's all part of the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The question, what we call the question of theodicy, which has disturbed Jewish and non-Jewish scholars alike, and philosophers discuss why the bad things happen to good people, and so on. It's, there are so many articles and books written about the subject, again, both by Jewish and non-Jewish thinkers. And, of course, according to the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, more brachas, Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me understand this, right? When he said, Hodei Eden Oast Rachach on Parshas Kisisa, Rashi Chumash quotes, was in the name of the Gemara, that he wanted to understand why sometimes the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper, or Tzadik Moralo, Rosh Hatovo, etc. Okay? And that's the book of Eob is about. Ramban, his introduction to his commentary on Megillas Koheles, said that's one of the themes, several, but there's one of the themes of Koheles also. It's a vexing problem, which we all know. What Hillel is saying, that sometimes bad things do happen. You see a skull floating in the water, it means the person was murdered and he didn't merit a burial and so on and so forth. A bad thing happened. And presumably, or maybe he was a good person. So why did this happen? So Hillel says, you drowned somebody else. And whether he means it literally or he means to teach us that no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. Okay, there's some reason if this happened. even when bad news happens, but in a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow works things out, then he's going to work things out to punish those who deserve to be punished here as well. It's not random. The next Mishnah of Hillel, which is the last one of this group, okay, talks about certain, I guess, would be pleasures of the flesh or pleasures of life in general. And there's nothing wrong with pleasures. We're allowed to indulge ourselves in pleasures, but pleasures come with a price. And a person has to be aware of that in advance. You know, we have an English way of expression, no such thing as a free lunch, right? Again, we can enjoy a lunch, but there's a price to pay sometimes. And that's what this, and sometimes it's a worthwhile price, sometimes it's not. So the idea is that, you know, marbe, the phrase here, marbe basar, marbe nechasim, marbe nechasim, we have too much. And we usually assume that too much is no good. There's a very famous Drashas Chazal on the pasuk at the end of the first parak of Bereishis, which talks about Kadosh Baruch Hu's assessing his creation of the world. Right? Every other day it says, but the very end of creation, right before Chulosh Mavaretz and so on, and Shabbos, it says, Tov Ma'od. Tov Ma'od. So as you know, Tov Ma'od, the Chazal of Josh, that refers to Misa. That's when death was, so to speak, incorporated into the world. Okay, Misa. How does that Tov Ma'od? Because any Ma'od, anything excessive, it can be a problem. So therefore he says, you know, the more flesh, the more worms. But I want to look at the second one, Marbe Nechasim, Marbe Daigo. Okay, how true that is, right? We look at people, it's wonderful to be wealthy and to have so many possessions, to be a millionaire and a billionaire and all that. It is. I'd like to have it myself. However, it comes with a price. Okay, it comes with a price. Marbe Nechasim, Marbe Daigo. The pasuk says in Koheles, Mesuka Shnas HaOved, right? The sleep, Shnas, the sleep of the worker, okay, is sweeter than that of the master, right? Right, the person has a master owns a big field with lots of stuff. The worker comes, he does his day job, he gets his pay, he goes home. Mesuka shans ha'oved, im atim harbe yochel. Vasov ala osher, en ana menech l'lishon. Right, the great amount that the other person has is so much food and so much stuff, but he doesn't sleep well because he's nervous about this and nervous about that. Right, so the mechamar b'nechosem mar b'dago, everything has its price. Okay, on the other hand, on the positive end of it, okay, there are things which you have a lot of, which can bring you good. Again, you don't want to have too much in the sense of overdoing it, but to have a significant amount, doesn't say overdoing it here, it says marbe, marbe Torah, marbe chayim, marbe yeshiva, marbe chochma. Okay, I want to focus for a moment on marbe yeshiva, marbe chochma. That is the more pronounced yeshiva, okay, yeshiva would seem to mean sitting in yeshiva and learning. But, you know, what is a yeshiva? What exactly is a yeshiva? Yeshiva means sitting. Okay, yeshiva, a place where you sit. What is it called, the yeshiva? Okay, because we sit in the base madrash. We sit in the shir. But marbe yeshiva, marbe chochma, yeshiva perhaps means not only the site of the yeshiva and so on, place where you're, but the idea of sitting in the sense of yishuv hadas, it's not just a physical posture, and it's not just the name of a place. It's a matter of being settled. It's a matter of having your thoughts straight, and that's such a challenge in the world, right? You want to be mar b'chochma, you want to attain wisdom, attain Torah wisdom, you have to be able to have what's called yishuv hadas. A person has to have, you have to have your priorities straight and be comfortable with what you're doing and where you're going. Okay, it doesn't mean there aren't challenges in life, but it's very important to approach whatever you're doing with a sense of yishuv hadas. That this is, you know, not to be anxious, not to be tense, not to be, you know, feel like you're being overwhelmed and so on. That's not easy. It's not easy. And, especially now, I know people undergo prep, especially people with young children, you know, a house full of little kids and so on. They live in some small apartments and it's very, very stressful. Can't go out. You can't go places for Shabbos. Everything we're going through now in this unusual, time of the coronavirus and so on, you know, it's a stress. And my wife has counseled people. It's one of the things she does. You know, she's counseled people. She's more in the physical realm of exercise and healthy eating, but also works with people, you know, in the broader sense. And she said, see, there has to be a point where you take a few moments out for yourself. Just You know, you have little kids. I'm going to be in my room for 10 minutes. I close the door. Just if you don't, if you're able to do that during the day, you don't have the pressure. It's one of those who have that ongoing pressure. Take some time for yourself. Marbe Yeshiva, you can just sit with Yeshiva Das. That'll bring you a certain amount of chokhmah, a certain amount of wisdom as well. The last thing I wanted to the last thing I wanted to mention from this Mishnah is it's called the Retorah Kala Chayalam Abo. Okay, and it really flows into the next Mishnah, which we'll finish off with, which was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. A person who is Kana Shemto has the expression of Kana. Okay, required a good name. Required a good name. Required a good name, then, Kana Shemto, Kana Atzmo. This is for your own benefit. All right, it's a good thing for a person to have a Shem Tov. All right, Kesser Shem Tov and so on. Ola Gabam, we'll see later. Okay, that's in the fourth parak. But the idea of having a Shem Tov, of a good name, comes back to before. It's Avas Hashem because it brings people closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it also, I think, flows from the previous thing we mentioned as well, that a person who has Yishuv Adas can acquire a Shem Tov, to be calm, to be collected, to have, to have a good name, to have, that people look favorably on. That Konala Atzmo, that's for your own benefit, the Shem Tov. All right, it's not only for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's benefit, so to speak, Avas Hashem, or for your own, or for other people to help. But Kana Shem Tov, there's nothing more. Unfortunately, I've experienced it now more than we'd like to. But going to Leviyas and hearing about people. To me, the most wonderful thing that people say about a person who's just, it was a good person. This was a good person. Yes, he was learned. He was this. He was Mekubeya Itim and helped the shul, helped other people. But you hear most, and I remember also, just, when I was sitting Shiva, my own father, Olav Shalom, and the years ago, my mother, what struck me the most, he was a good person. He was a good person. That's what a person is to strive for. The last mission for today, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, it says, Kibim Elom Shamai, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai followed. And he imlovat the Torah harbe al taksi tova laatzmecho ki lechach notzarta. Okay, if you've accomplished a great amount in Torah, you've learned a lot, and so on. Yes, you should feel good, but don't take too much credit for it, because that's your mission, that's your goal. Okay, and that's what you're supposed to be doing. We don't get big praises for doing what you're supposed to do. You don't get a big yeshar koach for doing this, but that's what you're supposed to do. It's expected that's what you're going to do. Now, to feel pride and feel a sense of accomplishment, absolutely. But at the end of the day, you have to recognize that's what you're supposed to do. Okay? I once heard from Rabbi Wine, Rabbi Beryl Wine. He said that, he used to, when he first had a shul, it was in Muncie, I don't know how many years, 40 years, more. Okay? He would prepare his drushes, and he would do a good job with his drushes. He thought, I'm sure they were good. But he said it used to bother him that nobody would give him, praise and give him a big yashar koach. They would say yashar koach, they would say nice try. But he didn't feel at first that he was getting the right accolades, I guess, for his, sermons, for his drushes. Until he realized, wait a second, that's what they hired me for. All right, that's why I have this job. Right? And then I was brought to give these drushes, and that's what they like about me. That's what I was hired. I'm doing my job. And in a certain sense, the highest thing that a person can attain is doing what you're supposed to do properly. Right? That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I do. It's not going, it's not doing extra and above. This is what, and I'll just finish by saying, this is why, I don't like the term schar va'onesh, or schar is reward. I mentioned this, I think, previously. Schar is a reward. It's not really a reward. Reward is something above and beyond. Right, you get a reward for doing something you didn't really have to do. Oh, you gave this information, you returned a lost thing. You didn't really technically have to do it. You do it, you get a reward. That's how what schar is. Okay, I think I mentioned this in the mission at the beginning, the first paragraph, serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to get a pras and so on. A schar means this is what you're entitled to. This is what you're supposed to get. You get what you deserve. And by the way, owner is the same thing. It's not something above and beyond. It's not it's a consequence. I do the right thing. I get a schar. So too, he says, l'chach notzarto, right? This is what the greatest thing you can do is to do what you're supposed to do properly. Because that's exactly that's what you're here for. So he's learning Torah. You don't know how to take great credit and so on. This is the ability that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you. And that's what you're supposed to do. We'll stop over here on Shir Mitzvah at 11:30. Have a good day. Good morning.